You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
On this episode, I welcome Lucretia Davis. She's a career coach, published author, and the owner of Next Up Resume, with an MBA in HR management and a formal background in compliance and talent. Her company has assisted over 1,300 job seekers in landing their ideal careers. Please welcome Lucretia Davis. Lucretia, pleasure to host you on the Ivy Podcast. Thank you for finding time. Can you tell us a little bit more about your organization, the services that you guys provide?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, I'm Lucretia Davis, and I am the founder and CEO of Next Up Resume. We are a boutique resume writing agency, and we assist job seekers with resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn profiles, bios, all of the career branding documents that are necessary for job seekers today. In addition to that, I own and operate Lucretia & Company, which is the coaching aspect of my business. So Next Up Resume is more of an agency. There's about seven of us, and I am pretty much the overseer, the founder of that. But in terms of coaching, I am the only coach in my practice, and so I work with job seekers one-on-one, and I specifically specialize on the areas of job search strategy, interviewing, LinkedIn, salary negotiations, and personal branding.
Wow, that's exciting. And I can attest that your services, especially during these times, I'm pretty sure in very, very high demand, mainly because from my perspective at ProSource IT, our bread and butter is IT staffing. We work with software developers, engineers, and so forth, where we partner with companies of various size and try to match them up. So I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about on this episode in terms of, you know, getting a little more in-depth analysis in terms of, you know, the job search strategies, you know, the resume, the cover letter, and so forth. So this is great. Thank you for that overview. From your standpoint, what are the most underrated yet most effective techniques that deliver results when it comes to job searching, especially during these times like COVID-19 that we're all experiencing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a great question, because in job searches today, I think that most people focus on submitting applications through the job boards, waiting to hear back. And that is not the most effective job searching method in today's world. Before COVID, and especially now, that has heightened with COVID going on right now. And so the most successful job seekers, they do not just rely on the job boards, because we have the hidden job market. We have recruiters that are amazing resources as well, that have hidden opportunities that are available to job seekers. And so my advice is social influence and storytelling. I think that that is the most underrated strategy in the job search today. And when I talk about social influence and storytelling, I'm speaking about LinkedIn. LinkedIn has transitioned from that platform that is just an online resume, and it has become a social media platform, if you will, for business professionals. So not only do companies go on there to find talent, but you want to make sure that you are building a personal brand on LinkedIn, because there are many job seekers that I can think of that have landed amazing opportunities with Microsoft, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the big names, because of what they're doing on LinkedIn, okay? It shows that you are ambitious. It shows that you are an out-of-the-box thinker, and it also shows confidence, and it helps recruiters understand how you think, who you are, okay? So what do I mean when I speak about social influence and storytelling? Sharing your story, documenting your job search process, your struggles, and what you've learned about it, and how you have improved, and sharing that knowledge with other people that may be going through the same thing. Showing subject matter expertise in regards to your job field, sharing new emerging trends that are happening in the field. It shows that you are ambitious and that you are learning and keeping up with the times. And also it is a way to jointly build a network so that you have more exposure. And it also helps with helping people understand who you are. And another thing that is underrated in today's job search is informational interviewing. Right now, people are at home. People have more time on their hands. A lot of people were laid off, unfortunately, and now is a good time to start going on informational interviews with other people in the industry and building a support system and getting out of the habit of just, you know, submitting the application and waiting to hear back. It is time to get out of that cycle.
That is such an excellent advice. And I can definitely relate to that because as I work with a lot of my clients and a lot of, you know, primarily executives in different size organizations, and we spend a lot of time talking about these strategies in terms of that, you know, that social influence aspect that you talked about. That building almost that personal brand on, you know, platforms like LinkedIn. And for our listeners, if you're not familiar with Lucretia Davis, you should look her up on LinkedIn. She's a LinkedIn celebrity. some of the conversations that you generate on LinkedIn, you know, it's they're very engaging. There's a lot of participation. You have a lot of, you know, followers and a lot of, you know, people who rely on your advice. So I think, you know, I encourage our listeners to reach out and, you know, just basically see a lot of the things that Lucretia shares on, you know, platforms like LinkedIn. With so many companies, like you've mentioned, going through downsizing and furloughs and layoffs and so forth, what has worked well for you when it comes to kind of that job seeker motivation and keeping their, you know, the performance and the spirits up as they go through the cycle of, you know, that stage of job search, because it's extremely, you know, daunting and it's a very involved process.
Yeah, it's tough. Job searching is tough, and I can't sit up here and say that it isn't. And for me, what I always push is self-care, taking care of yourself, pouring into yourself, because yes, our careers are very important to us, but it doesn't define us. So if you've lost your career, knowing that you just lost your career, but you haven't lost your identity, you haven't lost your value and expertise, and the list goes on. And so self-care is critical at this day and in age when we're going through this time of unrest. And so you can only control what you can control, and just staying centered on that. You can't control being laid off. You can't control being downsized. You can't control that this whole situation with COVID-19 is going on. You can only control what you can, and that is focusing on still putting yourself out there, not feeling defeated, or trying not to feel defeated. And some ways to help with that include positive affirmations. I really push positive affirmations, and a lot of people feel that positive affirmations is, you know, are cheesy, but they are actually very, very helpful. So speaking those positive affirmations is critical, and also keeping an evidence journal. And that is when you feel that I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified enough, I am not going to find that right fit again, creating that evidence journal that challenges those negative beliefs. You have to shut down the negative talk, and it is very helpful to write those things down and be transparent with yourself. So if you feel like I am somebody who is not good enough, or I don't have a lot of value, keeping that evidence journal that specifically details the evidence that goes against that. And that is identifying and recognizing the impact that you've made in your career thus far. Because companies, they would not be thriving without top talent. That is what companies need in order to maintain competitive advantage. And so knowing that you are doing something good in the world and that you have a lot of value to offer and that you will get that opportunity once again to impart that on an organization. And also thinking about your future plans, okay? Since COVID has gone on, a lot of people are understanding that job security doesn't exist. We have people that have been on their jobs for 20, 30 years and just could not imagine being laid off at this time. And so knowing that job security doesn't exist, what are your future plans to, yes, still pour into your career, yes, still follow your passions and working in that job, right? But we also talk about entrepreneurship and those kind of things. I know that everyone isn't made for full-time entrepreneurship, and that is okay, but figuring out what you can do to be in a better situation in case something like this happens again. So it's kind of like that disaster recovery type of plan. But I think the biggest key here is self-care, taking care of yourself.
I love that advice. It's simple yet so on point, mainly because through these times, you know, furloughs and layoffs, a lot of that thing is not necessarily a reflection of you as a professional, you as a, you know, your performance. It's a matter of a circumstance and a matter of, you know, the company in general going through these hard times. So that self-care where you talked about is, you know, of utmost importance, because a lot of people can, you know, take it upon themselves and say, you know, wow, I really messed up through that process, which is not necessarily the case. So absolutely great, you know, and on point advice. As we go through these times, and there's a lot of different opportunities, a lot of changes, obviously, a lot of things had to be, you know, we had to adapt. From your standpoint, what job search trends that you foresee will come out as a result of current times?
Yeah, absolutely. I see an increase in remote work. I think now companies are realizing that, yes, people can work from home and people don't have to be glued to a desk at the office every single day. And I think that companies are starting to understand that there are some offices that aren't needed, or I guess I should say that they could be saving money with regards to going more in the direction of having remote workers, or understanding that people can work from home. And so what I see in the job search trends after COVID, I see people having to demonstrate their ability to work remotely and demonstrate that they possess those key skills that are necessitated of an effective remote worker. And so some of those skills include communication skills, being able to communicate with their team remotely, the ability to work independently, having a level of focus that is going to allow you to stay the course, technical skills, right? So technical skills or troubleshooting skills, if you will, and absolutely digital communication skills. So I see an increase of job seekers having to incorporate those key skills into their personal brands.
Couldn't agree more with you, because we've actually, for the past several years, we saw this trend coming, and a lot of the clients that we work with directly, we've been, you know, promoting the whole concept of remote workforce and, you know, having that flexibility. Of course, I completely understand that some companies are not quite set up just yet for that. But, you know, to what you're talking about, especially with this current circumstance, it was almost not an option, you know, for a lot of organizations. And right now, I agree with you that it's one of the positives that, you know, we're experiencing as part of the current times is the ability to work remote. And it helps us with, you know, a lot of the clients that struggle to find some very niche talent, especially, you know, in IT and, you know, niche technology domains. Now they have a greater access to, you know, a lot more candidates that are not necessarily tied to that particular geographic location. So that's, you know, I agree with some of the trends that you're observing. Share with us some of the most kind of effective tips for resume, and what are the most common mistakes that you see on resumes as you work with your candidates these days?
Yeah, I can talk about resumes.
We can have a whole episode about that.
Yeah, I can have a whole episode on that, but I know we don't.
If you were to summarize.
Right, yeah. So I know we don't have a ton of time today, but the most critical things that I would like to share on the topic of resume writing is it is important to have a strong resume in terms of good writing. Right. But I think that understanding the right resume strategy is very, very, very critical, because we have people that are not only seeking career transitions in their field in which they have a progressive work history in, but we also have an increased demand of people that are changing careers. We also have early graduates that are looking for careers, right? And so you have to start thinking out of the box and not just stay confined to the typical chronological resume that we see every day: summary, skills, job experience, education, and then it's just a sign off there. But understanding the right resume strategy that works for you, especially if you are in a unique situation, because it's important to understand that if your resume doesn't work, neither will you. So it's very important to put that time and energy and not just kind of, you know, slap something together. And so with that being said, it's important to understand the value that you bring to the table, and not just how we see it in our heads, right? But understanding the needs of these companies in terms of understanding how companies think about, describe, and prioritize these positions through their job descriptions, right? So understanding that is pretty much the starting point to understanding the skills and qualities from your history of work that belong on your resume. I think that some people see it as, okay, I'm a project manager. I know what project managers, you know, do because I work this job, obviously. And so, you know, it's not okay to just freehand. You have to do your research. You have to really brainstorm, okay, what are the top marketable skills that I have, and how I can communicate that on paper. And also, in certain situations, one resume is not going to cut it, or there are some cases where you're going to have different variations of your resume, because you can look at five different project manager job descriptions and you will find differences in each of those. The scope of the role is still the same, yet these are different companies. They serve different companies. They have different processes and ways of doing. And so understanding that you can't just, you know, create one type of generic resume and just, you know, lead with that, but really have a lot of focus about how I am going to connect my skills to this individual employer. So the key takeaway is, number one, studying job descriptions to understand the skills that are important to market. And then from there, definitely in choosing the right resume strategy to employ. And I think that I left this out, but it's very important to understand your target job description. Okay, so, and this is for more so for people that are considering changing careers and people that are early career professionals, right? So instead of saying, I want to work in HR, what do you want to do within HR? Because there are so many different position titles that make up that industry. And so once you identify those 1 to 3 target roles, then you are going to be able to understand if you need to create, you know, how many resumes you need to create or what that resume strategy should be.
That's great. So many, you know, so many valuable points that you cover. And there you go for our listeners. There's a lot of free advice for you in terms of, you know, the do's and don'ts, and some seem so simple, yet a lot of times they're overlooked. And I like especially what you mentioned in terms of really studying the job description and really understanding also the audience and how that translates to some of the content that you put on the resume. I think that's, you know, that's very important. From your standpoint, I've kind of secretly stalked you on LinkedIn, and I see a lot of your posts. That you generate a lot of relevant interactions and conversations with the people that follow you. For those who are just starting out and kind of dabbing into using LinkedIn as really that tool to help build that professional profile for themselves, or as that almost the virtual business card, what advice can you, or recommendations can you share with our listeners in terms of really building up that really, really solid presence on LinkedIn? Because I see you're very consistent. I see you very, you're very relevant in terms of the topics that you post. What are the things that you can share with the rest of us?
Yeah, absolutely. So having a stellar LinkedIn profile, I think, is the first thing that I want to talk about, right? And I'll get into visibility later, but because when you are found, you want to be worth looking at, right? So pouring into your LinkedIn profile and not just copy pasting from your resume, because yeah, you can do that if you like, and you'll have a completed LinkedIn profile, if you will, but take it a step further to create a more personal brand on LinkedIn in terms of having that more conversational approach with your profile, where people are reading it and they feel like you're talking to them, right? And so the steps to have a complete LinkedIn profile is, of course, to have a really great LinkedIn headline. And it shouldn't be just your job title, but it could include the skills that are most demanded of for your industry. Don't be afraid to show your quirks. It helps to understand that you have personality and also who you are. And so you can think out of the box when it comes to your headline, because it is your personal brand, right? But of course, it needs to be relevant. And your about section, definitely maximize that space. There's a lot of space there. I mean, a lot of characters you can use there. And the more characters that you use, the better you are showing up in searches or work well with the algorithms, okay? So not just having that one paragraph that now LinkedIn offers that you can elect to put on your profile, but taking the time to write out a couple of different statements and using bullet points, and not just focusing on technical skills, but also speaking to other passions that you have and accomplishments that you've made in your career. The job experience, you want to make sure that you include that on your profile, but actually provide some insight on what you did on those jobs. I think some people, they just put the position, just kind of leave it there. And I think that, you know, I don't want to go through all of the steps because I know for the sake of time, I can't do that. But the skills section, I do want to talk about the skills section because that is very important. So in the competitive intelligence section, of the job descriptions that you're looking at, right? So you'll see that you have 2 skills out of 5 or whatever the case is. Making sure that you understand the right skills to put on your LinkedIn profile as per how companies are listing those skills out in those job descriptions. So using the right skills, and definitely engagement. I always challenge people to take the time to engage 2 to 3 posts per day. And I guarantee you, if you are consistent in that, you will start to see you appearing in more searches on LinkedIn and even having attracting more recruiters and people with hiring authority to invite you for opportunities. And that is a way to tap into the hidden job market and also job hunt while you are asleep.
Those are great recommendations and really appreciate you sharing that with all of us. Lucretia, as you work a lot with, you know, the job seekers and those who are looking to, you know, to boost their professional brands online and so forth, you know, a lot of the coaching that you do, through that work, especially during current times, what's your analysis on the most in-demand skill set that's, you know, that a lot of clients that, you know, looking for these days? Have you seen something that's in particularly that stands out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that across the board, I mean, there are so many different important jobs out there. And so I would like to focus on not just the technical skills, but more of the soft skills that are in demand today. And some of those include emotional intelligence, interpersonal abilities, communication, integrity, right? So I think that just across the board, if we're talking about in-demand skill sets, then what I can focus on today is, and what I can really speak for in terms of working with a lot of hiring managers and also being a former recruiter, soft skills are in demand as well. And that's why I tell people on their resumes to not just focus on the technical aspect of their jobs, but also the soft skills that they offer. And you will see in job descriptions, they will blatantly say that I need for you to have emotional intelligence or an ability to communicate and work well with others.
Absolutely. And, you know, definitely thank you for sharing that. I can attest to, you know, a lot of the things you talk about, because as we work a lot with, you know, the software engineers or, you know, very advanced skill set in terms of that technical domain, but a lot of them, you know, I don't want to say a lot, but one of the things that really, you know, makes you stand out is, you know, the soft skills that are paired with that technical expertise that you have. Really an ability to think outside the box. A lot of the things that you talked about and emotional intelligence, those are extremely important.
Absolutely. And it differentiates you from other people that offer similar value as you do. And that's 100%. Where we talk about the culture fit and, you know, those sort of things. And so if we are looking at two project managers, right, and they both have the exact same skill set, who am I going to hire? Mm-hmm. Someone who not only can do the job, but someone who is coachable and someone that I feel that I am going to enjoy working with.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Can't agree more with you on that. And, you know, there's a quote by, you know, by Ben Horowitz that I really, really like from his book that, you know, goes something within the lines of, you know, hire for strength rather than lack of weakness. Because a lot of times through the candidates that we try to place at our companies, a lot of times I hear feedback that, you know, it just didn't seem like we're gonna, you know, work well together, or it's just that negative experience through that interview. Which leads me to think a lot of times the interviewer is really focusing on, you know, lack of weaknesses versus that, you know, the strength that they need to hire for. Lucretia, last but not least, curious, what are you currently reading and what is one book that you always recommend to others and why?
Yeah, I am currently reading a book right now called Boundaries. It was actually recommended to me by a client of mine, and this book, Boundaries, is by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. This client recommended the book to me because I go above and beyond for my clients, and she's like, you need better boundaries and you need to, you know how that goes. So I'm reading this book, Boundaries. And then the one book that I always recommend for others to read is called The Four Agreements by Don Ruiz. And it's a very short read. I think it's about 100 pages or just shy of that, but it is a great book, and personally it has helped me be able to have the mental power to deal with people that I don't like in the workplace, and being able to handle being a business owner and working with different types of personalities across the board. I think it is a great book just for mindset purposes, increasing that mindset. Mm-hmm.
Love it. I was definitely taking notes, and I'm definitely going to check out those books myself. Lucretia, thank you so much for your time today. A lot of valuable insights, a lot of great recommendations that, you know, you shared with us. Last but not least, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find you?
Yeah, so definitely I love to connect on LinkedIn, and you can find me there. Lucretia Davis, and I'll spell it for you. It's LakriSha Davis. I am there. And if you like to shoot me an email, Lucretia@LucretiaDavis. If you have any questions or follow-ups as it relates to this podcast, and definitely check out my website, www.lucretiadavis.com and www.nextupresume.com.
Excellent. And thank you so much for sharing that information. I'll be sure that we include that in our upcoming, the weekly newsletter that goes out to a lot of our clients, a lot of to our prospects, a lot of, you know, along with a lot of different job opportunities that we have for, you know, for our clients. So definitely would love to include that information, because I'm confident a lot of the, you know, the potential candidates could benefit from the services that you provide.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great, Lucretia. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it and look forward to staying in touch.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.